a simple message that I've titled Simple Faith. Amen. And I'd like for you to turn with me to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 27. Acts chapter 27, just read a verse over here that is the text we'll use today. Acts 27, verse 25. The Apostle Paul is speaking here. And he says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." Years ago, back in the 1970s, I heard a preacher came to town, spoke at the church I was attending at the time. This fellow was a basketball coach. And he got saved, got filled with the Holy Ghost, and God called him to preach. And he was one of the most humorous speakers I ever remember. But he was down to earth, simple, and he came. His name was Tom Hamilton. He spoke at the church. And many times since then, we heard him, and we even had him come here a few times years ago and spoke. Tom was one of those guys that had the emphasis of his ministry. He pastored for probably longer than me, but the emphasis of his ministry was faith, just trusting God. You know, a lot of times different ministries will have a particular emphasis. Some emphasize end times or Bible prophecy or, you know, whatever it may be. When you're a pastor, you really have to preach it all, you know, because you have to feed the church and prepare the church, and you can't get off on a tangent and preach one thing. It's different when you're a teacher. You know, Dave's a teacher. Dave can focus on creation and evolution and just hone in on that wherever he goes. If you're an evangelist, you can preach an evangelistic message. In fact, you can preach it, basically have four or five messages, preach them everywhere you go. When you're a pastor, you have to preach everything. So it's a little bit different. But Tom, his emphasis was on faith. Last year, Tom died. He was found dead one morning in his house. 75 years old, unexpected death. But he had written on his notepad next to his Bible, he had written the greatest verse in the Bible on faith. The greatest verse in the Bible on faith. And this was the verse he had said was the greatest one of them all. Because it's just so simple. And I think that's rather a profound statement when you realize how many verses there are in the Bible dealing with the subject of faith. But this particular verse really does make some things pretty simple and profound in their simplicity. It tells us what faith is, what faith does, what faith believes. And I hope you'll bear with me a little bit this morning, because I want to talk about simple faith. It really is simple. I think many times we make it more complicated than it is. We hear things often. People say, well, you just got to have faith. And while that's true, what is our faith in? And what is it that we are believing? But here, I want you to notice Paul's words. He tells these men on a ship, he says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer." Cheer up. "For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." I'd also like for you to get a little bit of a grasp of the context here, just exactly what was going on when Paul made this profound, simple statement, but profound statement. Back in Acts chapter 24, Paul got arrested. You get arrested in those days when you preach the gospel. Those days are coming again. You know, events like what just happened last night could actually cause a further tightening of the reins on Christianity. I don't know if you realize that when things happen like this, it affects us. Because now, all the more so, you speak against homosexuality as a sin, you can be accused of hate mongering, and this is hate speech, and you're inciting people to anger, and you are precipitating events like this by your hate-filled bigotry. So let me tell you, buckle up. Amen. There was a time when you preached the gospel, just the simple gospel, all men must repent of sin. Right. Red, yellow, black, white, male, female, young, old, we must repent of sin. Amen. And it's not just the homosexuals who are sinners out there and lost. However, they are gaining a protected status, so to declare that they are sinners can put you in jail. That day will come, and it will come to this shore. Amen. I'm not saying that as a prophet. I can just see what's coming. Amen. You don't even have to stand on your tiptoes anymore to see that. It's in plain sight. But in Paul's day, you preached the gospel, you made a lot of people mad. He made the Jews mad. And they had him arrested. And they drug him before Felix. And Felix, you know, over in Caesarea, Felix was happy to just leave him sit in jail for a couple years. And then when he was succeeded by Festus, Festus brought him up. He was going to talk to him. And then Festus said, you know what, I'm just going to turn you over to the Jews. Let them have you. Well, Paul knew what would happen. Once he was in the hands of the Jews, he'd never make it back to Jerusalem. He'd been imprisoned over there in Caesarea. He knew, you give me to the Jews, I won't make it back alive. So he said, I appeal to Caesar, which was the right of every Roman citizen at the time. So he appealed to Caesar. They let him sit in jail a while longer. Agrippa came to see him. Paul, you know, Agrippa, oh, I heard about this guy. Let's hear more from Paul. Paul preached the gospel to Agrippa. He's not going to be shy. He preached the gospel to Agrippa. He was very passionate about it as well. And Agrippa said, you know, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. Meanwhile, Festus says, I think you're mad. Yeah. You know, you're a little off your rock. I think you're a little crazy. He said, oh, no, I'm not mad. I'm not crazy. Amen. But I'm persuaded. And so they said, you know what? You appeal to Caesar. Off to Caesar you go. And that brings us to Acts chapter 27, when they're going to put him aboard a ship. Verse 1 says, it was determined we should set sail to Italy. They delivered Paul and certain other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. So they entered into the ship, and they were going to head out on their way to Italy. But, you know, the ship hit some stormy weather. Paul, down in verse 9, where the Bible says, when much time was spent, sailing was dangerous because the fast was already past. Paul admonished them. He's giving them some advice. He says, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Paul knew this was a bad idea to take this ship this time of year and try and continue this voyage. But verse 11, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things that were spoken by Paul. And so they headed out to sea. You know, you can listen to the music in the background of a 3-hour cruise, you know. No, not really. Something far more serious going on here, because very soon the ship was caught in a tumultuous storm. Verse 13, the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose. Loosing from thence, they sailed close by Crete. They said, look, the winds are fair, the seas are calm, time to go. But you know, it doesn't take long for the seas to get nasty. Verse 14, but not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Tempestuous wind. The Greek word there is typhonikos. It's where we get our word typhoon. A tempestuous wind. Here is a Mediterranean cyclone called Euroclydon. You don't want to be in a boat.
No.
You don't want to be in a wooden boat.
Amen.
You don't want to be in any boat when things like this come along. So, you know, you set out, things look good, sky looks clear, but it doesn't take long for things to turn horrible. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up in the wind, we let her drive. Sometimes all you can do is go where the wind blows. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the sandbanks, strike sail, and so were driven, and being exceeding tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. The idea here is that they wound up abandoning all hope of being rescued. The seas, man, you can love the water, but you know the water don't love you. You can love the ocean, but it don't love you. And it can get ugly in a moment. And just as we heard just this past week, several people drowned. I know several drowned over in Grand Isle, several drowned in Florida. It's been a rough week for swimmers. And you know, here they are at a very low point now. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. This storm did not subside. Sometimes, you know, you get caught in a thunderstorm and we just say we're going to batten down the hatches and ride it out. And just pray the lightning don't strike us. But here, the storm, this was a storm that wouldn't go away. It just kept pounding and beating. And when they talk back here about having to use helps on the ship, you know what this is. This is they tried to make some repairs. What they did was they put big old ropes like bandages around the ship to try and hold it together, to keep it from falling apart. Remember, these are big wooden ships. They tie these bandages around them and try and tighten them up, hold the hull together. It was in a major, major storm. This Euroclydon means a violent wind that caused huge waves. Huge battering waves. And when they were at their lowest point, verse 20, a miracle happened. After long abstinence, verse 21, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have listened to me." That made him real popular with them, you know. "You should have listened to me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer. There shall no loss come to any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee.'" And that brings us to our verse. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island." Something miraculous happened. But, you know, miracles can take more than one form.
Amen.
You can be in a great storm of life, and God can intervene and calm the storm. He did that, didn't he? He did it. He came walking on the water. He rebuked the winds and the seas. He can calm the seas. Guess what? He didn't do that here. But he did a miracle nevertheless. He preserved them through the seas. Sometimes that's the way he works, you know. Sometimes he does not calm the seas. Hello? Let's remember, you know, we read the passages where the Lord rebuked the winds and the seas and they were calm and everything was cool. God doesn't always do it that way. Sometimes he will just calm our hearts through the seas, giving us assurance from his word, and yet let us sail through these tumultuous seas. You know, he didn't keep Daniel from the lion's den. He could have. He could have kept him from the lion's den. So it didn't happen, but he let him go through the lion's den. He didn't keep the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, from the fiery furnace. He let them go through the fiery furnace. And sometimes he lets us go through the storms. But through the storms, he does a miracle of preservation nevertheless. And I think each and every one of us, if you've walked with the Lord for very long, you could testify that he has kept you through the storms. Whatever those storms were, whatever form or shape they took. Amen. He didn't calm the seas, but he calmed their hearts. Right. He sent a miracle, and he kept all of them safe. He preserved their lives. So here's the lesson. We're talking about simple faith today, just simple faith. Let's realize this simple lesson. God does not always calm the storms. I know that's how we pray, Lord, calm this storm. I'm going through this huge storm, whatever it is. Remember, he doesn't always calm the storms, but he's always with you through the storms. Even if he chooses not to calm the storm, he's going to be with you to calm your heart through it, because he never leaves us or forsakes us, right? He's always with us. He's a faithful God. He is a faithful God. That's why he gives us so many promises. Be strong. Be of a good courage. Amen. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. Amen. Joshua 1:9. Or Matthew 28:20. He says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Or Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid. For the Lord thy God, it's he that does go with thee. He will not fail thee. He will not forsake thee. The Lord's with you, right? I like also Isaiah 43, when he says, beginning in verse 1 and 2 and 3, he said, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. He does not say you won't go through the rivers. Doesn't say you won't go through the storms. But he does say, you'll never go through them alone. He's always going to be with us. I know that if you've walked with the Lord, as I said, for very long, then you've gone through storms in your own life. Maybe storms in your personal life. Maybe storms in your family. Maybe health situations, school, work, business, bankruptcies, loss of loved ones, church crisis. We all go through storms. And yet God has kept you. Here you are. Here you are, right? Praise God. I mean, these are always God's preservation. We just don't always see his hand, you know. Here's the thing. There's some people, they go through these great crises. They don't even know God has preserved them through the storm. They just come out on the other side and they say, boy, that was lucky. I was really lucky. Thank my lucky stars. Where God has had his hand on them, just preserving them through that storm. We could all testify how God has preserved us in times past. We didn't even know it was his hand on us that kept us alive and preserved us. And there are a thousand ways we don't know that God kept us and preserved us through it all. But, and you know, here's another simple lesson that we can learn. While he doesn't always keep us from the storms, but he will keep us through the storms. Sometimes those storms can cost us plenty. Because if you've gone through some personal crises, maybe you've experienced divorce. That's a terrible crisis to go through. Terrible crisis. A heart, gut, spirit-crushing crisis that can destroy a person. But look, you a survivor. Praise God. Here you are, serving God, loving God, and being loved by God. Hello. But it cost you something. Sometimes people have gone through personal crisis that left them bankrupt. We know Christians, godly people who lost everything, lost a home, lost a business, didn't think anything like that would ever happen. They lost it all. But you know what? Here they are, serving God. Because all of this stuff anyway, you know, it's all perishing, right? You can't hold on to any of it anyway. Sometimes you just have to let go of it sooner than you thought. Some of it we thought we'd hold on to till we died. But, you know, storms come. Some of those storms have names, like Katrina. And we learn to hold on to things loosely, right? But this, I love this declaration that Paul makes when he says in verse 25, he says, "Sirs, be of good courage, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." This is as simple an explanation or definition of faith as you'll ever get. I believe God. I believe God. There it is. How simple is that? I believe God that he will do what he said. That's faith. That's simple faith. I believe God that he will do what he said. That he'll do what he said. That's how simple is that? So simple that it's profound. And you know, if you have faith in anything else, Paul said, I believe God. If you have faith or confidence or trust in anything else, you'll one day learn that your faith was misplaced. You might think that, look, these sailors and these soldiers, they had faith in the word of the captain and the owner of the ship. They said, look, this is a good ship. This is a sturdy ship. The seas are calm. There are experienced sailors that are going to navigate this ship. We can tell everything is going to be okay. So you can have faith in the sturdiness of the ship. The craftsmanship of those who built it. What was it called again? Titanic. Yeah, exactly. This is a seaworthy ship. You could be made to feel so safe and so secure, but your faith's in the wrong thing. I know that some people found out the hard way that their faith was misplaced when their faith was in, well, maybe it was the U.S. economy, or it was the stability of the company that they worked for. Like, you know, you could say, you know what? I've been with this company for 20 years. This company has been around 100 years, and this company will be around 100 years from now because, you know, it's so solid, so stable, so financially secure. Well, there are many huge, great companies that were around for a long time that are not around today. You ever heard of E.F. Hutton? Or Payne Webber? Or Eastern Airlines? Or TWA? Or Pan American? Or Enron? Or Woolworth? Or K&B? Or Standard Oil? The Pullman Company? Or Kaiser Aluminum? Or Jack's Falstaff? Dixie? Schwegman's? Krauss? General Foods? My daddy drove a Packet. I'm going to drive a Packet. My son will drive a Packet. My grandson will drive a Packet. or DeSoto or Studebaker or Oldsmobile, American Motors or Austin or MG or any of dozens of companies that were around and are gone.
Amen.
Either they got bought out or absorbed by somebody else or... Here's my point. Don't put your faith in anything in this world. And think that you're secure there because, you know what, I've got a good job with a good company. Praise God and pray for that company. Don't take it for granted. Pray that that company's around tomorrow. I remember years ago, when I got out of high school, you get out of high school, there were so many jobs waiting for you. Everybody was hiring. Domino Sugar Refinery, Kaiser Aluminum, phone company. Everybody was expanding. Everything was in growth mode. You could get a job. All you had to do was want one. We had all those oil refineries down in St. Bernard Parish. You could be 18 years old and making some really good money. Just about all those jobs are gone now.
Amen.
Nowadays, kids get out of school. Well, you better pray for a job. You need a career. You need a skill. You need some kind of marketable skill, a college degree. But no matter what you have, our faith has to be in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because, you know what we find out? One storm can humble us and take wash everything away. Wash it all away. That's right. We've seen that far too often. In fact, I know that sometimes we tend to put our confidence even in ourselves. You know, I have skills. I have abilities. I can market myself. I've got experience. People will hire me. I don't have to worry about anything. Well, really, all it takes is one sickness to cause you to realize how vulnerable and weak you are. But all our great plans can disappear like a wisp of wind, right? So here's our question. In the storms of life, what will you believe? Who will you believe? Where is your faith? What is your trust in all of life's storms? Paul said, I believe God. That's what I believe. I believe God. Don't be like that lady who sings the song, I believe in love. I believe in love and the power of my love and the power, you know, her boyfriend's love. We're going to overcome every obstacle. Well, you know, love is a great thing. We believe in love. But she had no idea what storms her love would face, her little ship would face. You know, faith is only as good as the object you place it in.
Amen.
So how trustworthy is that object? Because faith is only as good as the object you place it in. Jesus told us, have faith in God, right?
Amen.
Here's what Paul said, I believe God. My faith is in God. And then it's inevitable some people will say, you know, I hear about having faith in God, but that comes hard for me. It's hard for me to really trust, to really believe, to really have faith for me is a difficult thing. And my response would be that you have faith, you just have it in the wrong thing. You already have faith, more faith than you realize probably, but your faith is probably just misplaced. You know what I was thinking about this week? How much faith we have when we sit down and eat in a restaurant. Now, you know, really and truly, if you really thought about it, and I'm not saying that just because one of the places we likes to eat got written up as the number one violator of all the health codes, you know what I mean? But really and truly, when you sit down to eat in a restaurant, don't you realize what a leap of faith that is, how much faith you have in? Because you don't really know the cook back there. You don't know if his hands are clean. You don't know if anything back there is clean. You don't know if they mad, they in a bad mood, they spitting in your food or whatever. You don't know the waiter. You don't know. And not only that, but you know, all those ingredients come from somewhere. I mean, they come from processors. You don't know what that came in contact with. You don't know if anything's contaminated, toxic, poisonous. You don't know if it's been exposed to Listeria, Legionnaires, or any number of possible things. Did they expose your good food to, you know, contamination? I mean, you don't know. But you order for you and your wife and your kids. And you smile when they bring it out. And let me tell you what that is. It's faith.
Amen.
It's really faith. I'm going to eat this. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask the Lord to bless it. I'm going to ask the Lord to bless it. He says he'll bless our bread and our water. And he says it's sanctified by the word of God in prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 4. So Lord, sanctify it to my good in Jesus' name. And then we eat with a big smile every bite we take. That is good. And we tell our children, eat it all. Because they got starving children somewhere. And my, you know what? You have great faith. And look, it's not just the restaurant. It's the stuff you bring home from the grocery. Same thing. Man, if they recall Bluebell, they're liable to recall anything. You have more faith than you thought. And then you get on an airplane. Right. You get on an airplane. Do you know the pilot? You ever met him? Ever talked to him? Is he sober? Where was he last night? How late did he get in? Is he mad at his wife? Is he suicidal? And what about the mechanics that serviced that plane? Yeah. Jerry was on a plane in Washington, D.C. They made him get off because it was leaking fuel. So they put some duct tape on it. Got him back in there. So you pray. You lay your hand on the plane. I know every time I get on a plane, my hand goes on the plane. Lord, have mercy, Lord, on this plane. I don't know that wing that they just had to fix if the bolts came from China.
Very true.
Yeah.
The
whole plane came from China.
Yeah. Just yesterday I read about a train derailment in Oregon. All these tankers came off the track. Some kind of volatile petroleum. Huge fire. And you know what the problem was? The bolts on the rails broke. Yeah, because you know why? Probably they came from China. I'm just saying people have great faith in things that maybe we don't realize what faith we already have. It's just in the wrong thing. Drive a car, drive over a bridge, sit on a chair, go get a shot at the doctor. Yeah, take that medicine that they prescribe that it won't kill us. And every time I watch the 5 o'clock news, you know, that's the national news. National news, you can guarantee every commercial is going to be about medicine. Because you know who watches the national news? Old people. So all the old people, young people, they're not watching that. They got their earplugs in or whatever, you know. But the old people, you know, we watch the national news, want to know something that's going on in the country. Every commercial is about medicine. Ask your doctor as if you could get him, you know. Yeah, I'll put in a call. I'm sure he's going to call me right back. So you watch this, and then they give you the disclaimer at the end. You know, if you take this and you suddenly go blind, you know, stop taking it. Or if you lose your hearing, obviously you can't walk anymore. You lose, you know, your legs turn to rubber. Or if you start feeling suicidal or if you die, stop taking this medicine. So, you know, our problem is not a lack of faith. Our problem is misplaced faith. misplaced faith. I'm not saying don't go to the doctor or don't take the medicine. I'm just saying 100,000 people died last year from side effects of medicine. Yeah. So if you take it, better pray. I just read that yesterday. 100,000 people a year die from the side effects of medications. So I'm saying we take things, but we have more faith than we realize. Here's what Paul said. I believe God that it shall be. It shall be. It will come to pass. It may not look like it right now, but it will come to pass. Even as it was told me. It'll be like God said, because God stands behind his word. It really is that simple, beloved. It's that simple. Faith believes what God said. That's the bottom line. And what is it that God said? Well, that's the Bible that you have right here in front of you. That's what he said. How about we just believe this? Everything in it, every promise, every word, every sentence, every statement. How about we just believe this? Faith believes the Bible. We're talking about simple faith. How about we believe what the Bible says? You're going through a trial. You're going through difficulty. Everybody does. But doesn't the Bible say, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus? Can we believe that? You may be going through a storm right now. But can you latch on to the promise and believe what God said? Because let me just point out something else very profound, simple but profound. Notice when Paul says here in verse 25, cheer up. Be of good cheer. Wait, you're in the middle of a storm. And the storm wasn't getting better, it was getting worse. Their ship was falling apart, and he just told them, hey, yeah, we're going to be shipwrecked, and everything is going to be destroyed. But cheer up. Be of good cheer. I believe God. So you want us to cheer up when the way things look and feel, there's nothing to be cheerful about. If you go by what you see and what you feel, there's nothing right now for me to cheer up about. But if you believe God, if you believe what God said, he said, I'm going to keep you alive through this. I'm going to bring you safely through. Then you can cheer up and say, you know what? God's with me. God's for me. He's with me in the storm. I can be of good cheer. It's going to be okay. Can we be of good cheer through the financial storms of life, through the storms of unemployment, through the family things that go on? Boy, I tell you, some families go through tremendous storms and upheavals. Can you cheer up through it? Cheer up! Yes, cheer up. Paul said, I believe God. Maybe our problem is that we're not believing God as much as we thought we were. Oh, we believe in God that he'll bring us through these storms of life. No matter what's happening in your life right now, do you believe God? He'll bring you through. This Bible is full of exceeding great and precious promises, according to 2 Peter chapter 1. Exceeding great and precious promises, thousands of promises. And you know, they're not there just to fill up space. I spent a good bit of time some weeks ago talking about writing your name on the promises of God. Amen. Make the promises yours. Write your name on the promises. We sing the song, Standing on the Promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. Even when you're going through all kinds of storms and so forth, the promises don't fail. God stands behind the promises. He's faithful. I think it was just a week or so ago we were singing a song, Just As I Am. Was that you singing that song, Brother Bob? Or was that Might have been Robert singing it on a Monday night prayer meeting, but we were singing that old song, "Just As I Am Without One Plea, But That Thy Blood Was Shed For Me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." You know, when we sang that song, I forgot the last stanza, but the last stanza is this: "Just as I am, thou wilt receive, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." Boy, that just jumped out at me that when we sang that, "Because thy promise I believe." What about us? Are we believing the promise? Is your stomach in a knot because of the way your children behave, or your grandchildren behave? Are you losing sleep because they're not walking with the Lord? Well, you know, there are promises that declare we and our house would be saved, that God would save our children. Do you know we can latch on to those promises and hold on them through the storms? And remember, Paul was telling them, you cheer up. Do not focus on what you see and hear, you know, the winds and waves and seas, but you focus on the promise. I believe God. Now you need to believe God. Believe God. That's what he's telling him. I believe God. It will be even as it was told me. You know what was told me? Me and my house would be saved. That's what he said. Me and my house would be saved. I choose to believe it. I'm going to hold on to it. I urge you to do the same, that you and your house would be saved, you and your family. Hold on to those promises. Don't let your stomach turn into knots, but let your praises go up to God. Say, Lord, I believe what you said, that it will be even as thou hast said. I may not see it right now, but I will see it. And whatever the trial is you're going through, beloved, battling illness, sickness, symptoms. You know, there are promises in the Bible that says the prayer of faith will heal the sick and the Lord will raise them up. How about we latch hold of those promises? How about we do that? How about we get a hold of one of these great big promises of healing that was written to the New Testament church, you know, James 5. Any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. They'll anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick and the Lord will raise them up. Your Bible says that. Amen. James 5, 14 and 15. That's a big promise. And the storms may look and feel totally contrary to it, but we can latch hold to the promise, write our name on it, and believe God to bring it to pass. Look, we're trusting him for our salvation, right? We're trusting him that he's going to return for us, right? We're trusting him that we're going to one day walk with him in glory. Let's believe that he walks with us right now on this earth. He promises peace. My peace I give unto you. Not like the world gives. I give you my peace. Let's latch hold of this thing and believe for peace in the midst of the storms, and be of good cheer. Keep our eyes off the winds and waves. And look, the boat may be falling apart all around us. God doesn't say he's not going to keep your circumstances from falling apart, but he will keep you from falling apart if you'll hold on to him. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings, fears, within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Well, how we need to come to the Lord in humility and faith, recognizing our weakness, recognizing our need for the Lord's intervention, and believing that he will do as he promised. For I believe God that it shall be even as he has told me. You know what the old theologians used to say? Where God has spoken, that's enough. Amen. I like those kind of things. Where God has spoken, that is enough. Has he spoken and said he would be with you, he'd provide for you? then let's believe it. He has said that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. How about we believe it? Instead of saying, I can't do it. I can't overcome. I can't shut my mouth. I can't. Not in your own strength, but through Christ. Through Christ. Let's tell ourselves, Rusty, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it will be even as it was told me. Amen. Whatever promise stands out to meet your need, let's believe it. Let's believe it together. The Lord's with you through these storms. He'll take you safely through to the other side. Father, we pray today that you would encourage every heart, every mind, every one, Lord. Father, I know that among us even now are those going through great trial, some going through great personal crises, financial trials, business trials, health trials, some who need your direction. Lord, you know us and you know where we are and you know what each of us is going through. And Lord, you promise to meet every need. You promise, Lord, to direct our steps. You promise to save and deliver and preserve and protect. And Lord Jesus, you promise not that we won't go through storms, but that you would be with us through everything. So Lord, we hold on to your hand and hold on to your promise and trust you. Lord, let our faith rise. Let our faith rise to the occasion. Let us say as Paul did, I believe God that it will be even as you said. Lord, let us recognize that faith is simple when it's placed in the right object. Lord, help us to keep our faith, our eyes, our hearts fixed on you. This we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God.